Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., this evening, our very own Evangelist Hilda will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So you can, our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. the effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here on this program every day, to pray one for another. Amen. At this time, and you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy, so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. And when we are weary, please energize us. And when we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And oh Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercies. Bless our families and homes to be in order as we left it. And Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing. And Lord, we thank you for everything you're going to do. And Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Victory is mine.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
You said you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't, you can't. I plead. You gotta say, you can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your craft, break out your word. You gonna break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Salai, which means God my rock. God my rock, we bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of who you are, we find a firm foundation to build our life. You provided our salvation and the stability of our time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquities to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives eternally, leading the path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King of Kings. The Son of God walked this earth, bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified in our place, forgiving sin, interceding. The heart of the Spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquities to the image of glory. The heart of the Spirit darkness.
nightmares that never end, and waking up was hard to do. Then you paved the road with streets made of gold, with light that shines forever, and time never grows old.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send your angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this evening is entitled, Live First and Foremost. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 89:15-16. And it says, Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt in your righteousness. Praise God. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Hallelujah, Jesus. My third scripture reading is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Praise be to God. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from John chapter 10, verse 28 in the New King James Version. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. May the Lord richly bless the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Live First and Foremost in My Presence. Gradually, you will become more aware of me than of people and places around you. This awareness will not detract from your relationship with others. Instead, it will increase your ability to give love and encouragement to them. My peace will permeate your words and demeanor. You will be active in the world, yet one step removed from it. You will not be easily shaken because my enveloping presence buffers the blow of problems. This is the path I have set before you. As you follow it wholeheartedly, you experience abundant life and peace. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. And again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed this selection.
Rise, rise, rise,
God, my rock, again and again, we enter into our day, the greatest of intentions, ready to trust in you as your name, your names remind us of your great power. Yet, when the winds blow and the waves crash against the shore, we forget to look at you. Our God, our rock, we forget that you are strong and that you have not been moved by what moves us. Forgive us each and every time we have not sought refuge in you. God, our rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where you can call in your prayer requests from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. We are here to pray one for another. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection, and at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all. Start a business, a practice, write a book, score a film. Ah, somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands as you know you're going to go get it.
Open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song.
Simply say, you deserve it. Real simple gonna say it, church. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs.
Y'all got it now? Come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord, yeah, yeah.
All of the glory belongs.
Everybody, lift your hands right here and say, yeah. Everybody, come on, make concert and say it.
Okay.
Praise be to God. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son, who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. And Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark. And when you get to the book of Mark, turn to chapter 10. And when you get to chapter 10, we're going to go down to verse 17 through 22. Amen? And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, and this is speaking that Jesus speaks to the rich young man. Amen? As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," Jesus told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So you see, this man wanted to be sure he would get eternal life. So he asked what he could do. He said he had never once broken any of the laws Jesus mentioned in in Mark 10 and 19. And perhaps he had even kept the Pharisees' additional regulations as well. But Jesus lovingly broke through the man's pride with a challenge that brought out his true motives. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. This challenge exposed the barrier that could keep this man out of the kingdom. His love of money. Money represented his pride of accomplishment and self-effort. Ironically, his attitude made him unable to keep the first commandment, to let nothing be more important than God. In Exodus 20 and 3, he could not meet the one requirement Jesus gave to turn his whole heart and life over to God. The man came to Jesus wondering what he could do. He left seeing what he was unable to do. Amen? So what barriers are keeping you from turning your life over to Jesus? Think about it. Amen. But sadly, we live in a world that is filled with tragedy. Amen. Sadly, we live in a world that is filled with tragedy. In recent months, we have become accustomed to hearing of tragedies in the news. Even today, we are still hearing these tragedies. The World Trade Center disaster, the fighting in Israel and Afghanistan, the threats of nuclear war between the Pakistans and India, all remind us that we live in a world where tragedy can be seen on every side. Yet, there is another realm in which tragedies takes place every day, cannot be seen with the naked eye. Tragedies that result not in the loss of property, but in the loss of the soul. The story I have read today tells of one such tragedy. Now, there is a lot which is right about this tale. Here is a young man who came to the right person and the right time. He came asking the right question and received the right answer. The tragedy lies in the fact that he made the wrong decision. Here is a man who suffered the greatest tragedy of all. He came close to salvation. But he walked away into hell. Now, our text tells us that this man was young in verse 20, and that he was rich in verse 22. Luke 18:18 reminds us that he was a ruler as well. That is why he has come to be known as the rich young ruler. However, the details concerning his encounter with Jesus revealed him to be just a poor old slave. I want to share his story with you this evening so that you do not end up like he did. Let's look into this text today, together tonight. There are some truths here that we need to look at and understand. Now join me as I share the story of the poor old slave. I just want you to remember, your story doesn't have to end like his did. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, verse 17, the poor old slave's spiritual dilemma. Now, he comes running to Jesus and he bows before him. Now, these actions exhibit a sincere desire in this young man's heart. He runs, signifying that he senses the urgency of his need. He bows, signifying that he views Jesus as one to be held in honor. Also, he probably heard the Lord's words in verse 15. However, sincerity alone is not enough to save the soul. If it were, then many members of some cults would be saved. He wants to be saved, but he has some misconceptions that must be dealt with before that can happen. Amen? Standing of salvation. He wanted to. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us, and John 19 and 30 tells us that he wanted to do. Salvation is not about do. It is about done. Thank God it was finished 2,000 years ago. Amen? For a faulty understanding of self. Come on. He wanted to get self involved. He failed to realize that all self could ever produce is corruption. And you can read that in Isaiah 64 and 8, Isaiah 53 and 6, Romans 3, 10 through 13. All your religion, your self-effort, your trying to be good will do nothing for you but take you to hell. Understanding of the Savior. He called Jesus Master. This means teacher. He saw Jesus as one who could teach him the way to God. This is the same error many people have made today concerning Jesus. You will never be saved by following his teachings. He did not come to show the way. He is the way. John 14 and 6. For salvation to ever be a reality in your life, you will have to come to the place where you recognize that Jesus Christ alone is who men need to be saved. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He called Jesus good. Jesus reminded him that if he was good, then he must be God. He wants to know if this is what this man meant. Amen. In verses 17 through 21, the poor old slave's spiritual discovery. As this young man speaks with Jesus, the Lord reveals the truth to this young man in two important areas. And let me tell you about these two important areas. He learned of his spiritual condition. During his interview with Jesus, he was confronted with the reality of who he is. By the way, you will never be all you can be until you come to terms with who you are. Praise be to God. You will never come to Jesus for salvation until you see yourself for just what you are. Many don't want to do that, but it is a necessary step in coming to the Lord. Why? Let me tell you why. Jesus came to save sinners, but righteous people. Luke 19 and 10, Mark 2 and 17. Read it for yourself. Amen. Praise be to God. He discovered that he was really poor. In verse 22 tells us that this man was wealthy. His money could buy him a lot, but it could not buy him what his soul needed. Money can buy a bed, but not sleep. Food, but not an appetite. Medicine, but not health. A house, but not a home. A diamond, but not love. Amen. Medicine, but not health. A house, but not a home. A diamond, but not love. A church pew, but not eternal life. It doesn't matter what you may possess this evening. Even if it is religion, human goodness and kindness, it cannot buy you everlasting life, regardless of what you have. Until you have Jesus, you are bankrupt spiritually. What lost men need cannot be bought with money. Anyway, Isaiah 55 and 1. Praise be to God. He discovered that he was really pitiful. He arrived thinking that he was a moral man in verses 18 through 20. He found out that he was lacking spiritually. Now, verse 21, you see, Jesus is not teaching works salvation here. He is merely getting to the root of this man's spiritual problem. He is showing him that regardless of what he may think about himself, in the eyes of the Lord, he is still a lost sinner in need of a Savior. There is no sadder figure in all the world than a person who has been deceived into thinking they are right with God, when they are still lost in sin. Verse 20 reveals the depths of his delusion. Many people are like the Laodiceans in Revelation 3 and 13, blind to their own needs. Imagine a life lived in deception to awake in hell. Many will. Matthew 7, 21 through 22. 2 Peter 1 and 10. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Read it, my brothers and sisters. He discovered that he was really a prisoner. Now, this man thought that he owned a lot of things. What he discovered is that his things owned him. Regardless of what you have or what stands between you and the Lord this evening, no one or nothing is worth going to hell over. 36 through 37. He learned of the Savior's spiritual credentials. Now, when he arrived, he thought Jesus was just another teacher. When he left, he knew that Jesus was God. He was confronted with the truth about the Savior. He discovered that Jesus was patient. Jesus took the time to meet this young man just where he was and to lead him gently to the place of decision. When Jesus looked at him, he did so with kind eyes and a compassionate heart. The Bible tells us that he loved him, regardless of his condition and the baggage he was carrying from his past. Jesus loved this young man and wanted to save him. My friends, Jesus will lovingly and patiently work in your heart to bring you to a place of decision. He loves us. In Jeremiah 31 and 3, and he wants us to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. He discovered that Jesus was plain. Jesus pulled no punches with this young man, but he plainly told him all the truth. His words, "One thing thou lackest," is a commentary on this man's spiritual condition. Jesus did not dispute the fact that he had kept the letter of the law in verses 18 through 20. He merely tells this man that with all his possession, his position, ruler, his power, and his prestige, there was still one thing missing. Thing that was missing was the most important thing of all. This man had no relationship with or faith in God. You can have it all in this world and still lack the one thing that will let you into heaven in the next world. That one thing is a personal saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 1 John 5 and 12 puts it in as simple of terms as is possible. If you have everything and miss Jesus, then you have nothing at all. If the Lord were to speak to you directly this evening, would he say, "You have a lot, but you lack one thing. He discovered that Jesus was precise. Jesus gave this young man a threefold command. Doing these three things will put him in a position to experience eternal life. Liquidate your possessions. In other words, sell all that you have. This world released him from the bondage of his present God, displayed genuine love for his neighbor, and give him everlasting possessions in heaven. What has you trapped? Take up thy cross. Willingly identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. Be willing to absolutely die to self and all your interests and desires. Before a person meets Jesus, they are dead. Ephesians 2 and 1. Dead to spiritual things, but alive to the world. After salvation, they are to be dead to the world, but alive to God in Romans 6:11, Galatians 2 and 20. Follow me. This is the crux of the matter. He was called to a place of decision where he was to leave his old life behind and go with Jesus from that moment on. He was to place his faith and his life in the hands of the Lord. This is what salvation is all about. When God brings you to that moment of decision, you are to trust him, follow him, and leave everything behind for him. This is where a lot of Baptists have missed it. We are to commit all our all to the Lord and trust Jesus and him alone for our salvation. How do you follow Jesus? Is it by faith? Acts 16:31, John 6:47, Romans 10:13. In verse 22, the poor old slave's spiritual decision. Now verse 22 tells us that the sad story of this man's reaction to the words of the Savior, I hope no one here tonight will do as this man did that day. He chose darkness over light. The word sad means to be covered over with a cloud. He left still enveloped in the cloud of spiritual darkness that surrounded him when he arrived. He was a sad figure as he walked away from the only hope of salvation he had. People still make the same foolish decisions today. The Bible tells us that men won't come to Jesus because they love darkness, John 3:19-20. This is the recipe for a very sad life. When the Spirit gets a hold of you just right, you will be willing to trade your darkness for the light of God. When you see what you are and what he can do for you, it will change everything. Praise be to God. He chose defeat over liberty. This young man loved his stuff more than he wanted to go to heaven. He did not realize that he was trapped in the prison of materialism and that all the things he loved so dearly were his cell keepers. Jesus, on the other hand, was offering him life and liberty from his prison. Again, people still choose the bondage of sin over the liberty of salvation. Growls, sweet, and monkey traps chose death over life. When this young man went away, he was turning his back on the only one who could have saved his soul. In that moment of time, he said, "I'd rather keep what I have and go to hell than give up 1 cent and go to heaven. I will not make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. I hope you won't do that this evening. I hope you will not choose death over life. Jesus wants to give you a life that more abundant than anything you could ever imagine. John 10:10 tells us that. He wants to liberate you from the things that blinds you. Luke 4:18. He wants to save your soul. Hebrews 7:25. And my conclusion is, we don't know how this man's story turned out. For all we know, he walked off into the continual darkness of his life and eventually into the darkness of hell forever. Is that how your story will end? It doesn't have to. If you have recognized the fact that you are not right with God, you are not saved, and you know it, and you want to meet Jesus, I am inviting you to come to him today so that he can save you and forever change your life. If you are saved, but your commitment to Jesus isn't, it should be, I am inviting you to get that settled today as well. And whatever the need may be, there is help and hope in Jesus. I pray that this message blessed your heart and your soul as much as it did me. Amen. And I just want to say also that if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. To further your walk with Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 through 25. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will come and bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless. Happy Sabbath to those who celebrate the Sabbath on Saturdays, to all my brothers and sisters in the Seventh-day Adventists, to all of our Jewish family. We thank you, each and every one of you, for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. God bless you and have a wonderful evening. We love you and we give God all the glory and the praise. At this time, I will close out with "All Belongs to You." Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.